In a few moments after the word, don't run away, because we are going to do this again. Well, the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. This one life will soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last. We do many things in life, but only those things that are ordained of God are the things that are going to last. I wonder if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. The cry of our Father is for His people to enter into His rest. Because when we enter into the rest of God, the Bible says that we cease from our own works. In John chapter 14, Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, and He was speaking to His disciples, and He was giving them some instructions and telling them some things that would happen. And then when He gets to when we get to verse 10. Speaking to the disciples, especially Philip, who had addressed him with a question, asking him to show me the Father, Jesus said, "Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." I want to get to verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The New International says in verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And I want to address this for a moment. I want to address this because of understanding God and His rest, understanding God and His righteousness, understanding God and the work and that He's given to us, and understanding how we line up with these things that God is doing through us. We are in a place where the body of Christ, in spite of what many may think, the body of Christ is right on the verge of coming into the display of the very life and character of God flowing basically from within us, the family of God, the body of Christ, the people of God. We are the ones who are basically going to usher in His coming. We are the fullness of God is going to dwell within us, and that is God's purpose. It was always God's purpose, His plan and His design. And the struggles that are apparent in what we do day by day and how we see things in our world and especially in the church, you know, I want to encourage you, do not let things discourage you. Just like this young man, you know, was told a lot of negative things, and he was told a lot of negative things by those who were around him, those who were supposed to be imparting life and truth and powerful things into him. You know, they were negative things. But again, by the grace of God, see, those things that the enemy always means for evil, God turns for good. Now, I want to clarify something with you, that there is a difference between God's love for you and apparently our love for God. Okay, there's a difference between God's love for us and our love for God. You know, the Bible tells us that if we love God, how do we demonstrate that we love God? By keeping His word. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, you would keep my word. Now, I want to talk to you about this word here. In the New International Version of the Bible, it says here in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. King James says, if you love me, you would keep my word. That word keep, I encourage you to go home and do a study on the word keep. And do a study on this verse and see that it was taken basically from the Old Testament. If you love me, keep my word. I want you, as I said, do a study on that word keep, because I don't want you to see the word keep as obey. I don't want you to see it as obey. Not that it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to obey. Can you understand me? Not that it doesn't mean that you're supposed to obey. Okay? Everyone knows that we're supposed to obey God. Right? But this word here, keep, it means, it was taken from the Old Testament, it means to keep before your eyes. When God spoke to the children of Israel, He gave them the word. They had the word, they had the law. He gave them the law, the word, the commandments, and He told them to take it and write it basically on the doorposts and all in the houses and put it literally before your eyes. And so this verse means to keep before your eyes. And the reason why I want to belabor this point and to point this out is because it's verses like this that keeps us in struggles in our Christian walk and prevents us from actually being able to flow with the ease that God intends for us to flow in Him. If I feel that I have to keep the commandment, I have to obey God's word, see, and then I, you know, I'm walking my regular life in God, you know, then I begin to make rules and regulations the rules is the word. I make rules for myself, and I begin to set, okay, don't do this and don't do that, and do this and do that, and don't do this, and it's wonderful to make rules, but we find that we make rules and then we find that after a while, it's like making a New Year's resolution. After a while, sometimes before the day is out, after we made a New Year's resolution, then we have broken the resolution. Maybe a week gone by, 2 weeks have gone by, and we have actually broken the resolution. That's not what God intends for His family. For us to make these rules and try to obey them. And the Church of Jesus Christ, we have done that for so long. We have made all these rules and regulations. We have taken what God has said. We made these rules and regulations, and then we try to fulfill them. And then when we break them, then we get discouraged and we get upset with ourselves, you know, and then we condemn ourselves, and we do that, and we have no kind of liberty and freedom to walk in God. You don't have any liberty and freedom to walk in God. Why? Not that God condemns us. Our God does not condemn us. We even take the word of God and we interpret it based on our experiences. So we say things like, well, you know, the Holy Spirit convicted me of so and so and so. You know, well, if you are saying that the Holy Spirit convicted me of so and so is negative, then I would ask you to go back and review that word convict and see where the Holy Spirit, or where it says that the Holy Spirit convicts us. See, we know that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. We talked about this last week in John chapter 16. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, you know, that He will convict or convince or convict the world. The Holy Spirit does not have to convict you of any sin. His purpose and His job is to convince you or convict you of who you are in Christ. That's what that verse says. It says He will convict the world of sin. He will convince or convict the church of His righteousness or its righteousness. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn. He says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. In order for the world to have life abundantly, the Holy Spirit convicts the world or convinces the world that they are sinners, or we were all there, we were all sinners, and we all need a Savior. Is that true? Once you have come into the family of God, the Holy Spirit then comes into your life and in my life, and He's into our hearts, and the Bible says now He is there to shed abroad in our hearts the love of God, so that you and I can begin to function and operate in the motivation of the love of God, flowing in and out and through us. Are you with me? I want to read a story that I've discussed before, but it's found in the book of Genesis. Remember, to keep before your eyes. That's what the word means. Keep before your eyes. And the reason why God says to keep it before your eyes is the same reason that He told Joshua He says in Joshua 1:8, He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, or continuously. He says, that thou may observe to do. You see, if you think that the doing would take place without the meditation, it's not going to happen. You see, there is a truth there. There is a supernatural occurrence, because the word that I speak unto you, the word is spirit and the word is life. There is a supernatural operation with this word. This word is the power of God. I didn't say that this word really, you know, like the scripture says, it doesn't speak about the power of God's word. It talks about the word of His power. This is the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. And when you put the word of God out, the word of God
supernaturally accomplishes the thing that God has uttered out of his mouth. Are you with me here? Now, we receive Christ. Sometimes we say we do, that we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we start going to church. And then while we were in church, you know, and thank God this has changed a lot. But in the past, we heard, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't fight, don't fornicate, don't. Is that true? Okay, now, you would notice that when Christ, when God in Genesis, when God created Adam, there weren't a whole lot of don'ts in there. God gave him instructions, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over all the works of my hands. You didn't see a lot of don'ts and don'ts and don'ts in there. You had one negative command that God gave him. Don't eat the fruit. Do you notice that he did the one negative thing that he was not supposed to do? He ate the fruit. Well, God is not coming and telling you don't and don't and don't and don't and don't. Because if he tells you that, you have in your mind these rules and regulations, and so you try to work this thing out, and you know, you kind of drum up faith or strength or courage to be able to obey the word of God. Come on, talk to me. Isn't that what happens? And then after a while, you know, when we break it, we feel so bad. You know, and then we condemn ourselves. And so now we do what Adam did when he was in the garden. And he heard God coming in the cool of the day. He hid himself. Huh? God says, Adam, where are you? He says, I heard you coming. And I hid myself because I was naked. Stay with me a little while. I won't be long. God told Joshua that this book of the law should not depart out of his mouth. In other words, keep saying, what is here? He says that you should observe, that you should meditate on this. Meditate means to muse upon, to speak back to God. It means to murmur, to utter. It means to make musical notation. You know, all those things mean to meditate. Points out that that's what meditation is. And he says you would meditate on the word for one purpose. So that you would observe to do. Take the meditation out and you will not be able to observe to do. You with me? Meditation is the process that brings true success into our lives. In Genesis chapter 30, I'm going to read from verse 25. There are things that are written in the Old Testament, they are revealed in the New. God pulls back the veil so that you and I are able to see things clearly and so that we are able to apply them into our lives. In verse 25, I'm going to read from the New International Version. He says, after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please say, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. He added, name your wages and I will pay them. Jacob said to him, you know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled and spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted and speckled goat. They will be my wages. And my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark colored, will be considered stolen. Agreed, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, and made white strips on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the water troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself, and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate there near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. Simple story. A story that if we were to think about and we were to look at today, we would say, that don't make any sense. That's not possible. So here he takes poplar wood and peels them. You know when you peel, how it gets the coating under it is all clear. So when you peel it, so he peels it in certain places so it looks striped or spotted. And then he took these and he placed them right where the sheep and the goat and right where they had to. To drink their water, or the water troughs, he placed them right there, especially when they were in
heat when they were ready to meet. And when the young ones were born, they came out spotted and speckled. Now, how did that happen? Obviously, that happened, first of all, because it was an idea that was given to him by God. God gave him the idea to let him know exactly how he was going to prosper. God gave him the idea. Good thing he responded. And then it looked really that this can't happen. How would these animals looking at this stuff actually birth young ones that come out speckled and spotted? Do you know how? It's the same way that you take seed, put it in the ground, and next time you see the seed growing up and you don't know how. All you know, that's a law that takes place. You put the seed in the ground, all things being equal, and this is what is going to happen. When God speaks a word to His people, and God tells us something to do, then you and I don't need to question God. We need to take what He has said and just stand upon it, because God is true to His own word. Now, how is this going to happen? Who cares how it's going to happen? God is big enough to do it. That's exactly what he did. This is a process here of meditation. It's the same similar process that takes place that when you and I take the word of God, the promises that God has given to us, you and I don't have to make rules for ourselves to try and keep those rules. All you and I have to do is to bathe ourselves in the anointing of the Word. Just keep saying the Word and meditating upon the Word and singing the Word and speaking the Word back to God. And God is the one who makes the changes. It says, "For we with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of God." Learn this. Learn this. When you look into the Bible and you're going to see the wicked, you could see all kinds of evil stuff. But when you look into the Bible and you want to see things pertaining to you, you don't see any evil stuff. You see the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "For we behold as in a mirror the glory of God." What's the glory of God? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are blessed. You are the weak, are the strong. That's you're not weak, you're the strong. See, what do you see God saying about you? That's what you and I must meditate on. Because in our meditation, the Holy Spirit gets involved and He takes that thing that we're meditating on and gives us the ability to observe, to do. So now our observation and our doing is really one of ease rather than one of effort. Struggle. I gotta bear fruit, I gotta bear fruit. We never see this in the natural. You never see a tree forcing to bear fruit. The tree just bears the fruit. Why must you and me, people of God, be forced and struggle to do what is right? Why are we forced to do what is right? Why do we struggle to do what is right? We need to believe the Word of God. We need to follow what God has said. We need to follow what God has said. If you don't understand it, fine. Just continue in it, and God will bring you to the place where you and I could begin to understand what He's saying. You know, folks will say to you, "Yeah, but you've been doing that for so long." Don't listen to them. Just keep doing it as long as it takes. How long? Till it comes. Till it changes.
You know, the same thing they say about the coming of the Lord. Well, where is he? You know how long they say Jesus is coming? Hey, be patient. You know what they, you know, they told Noah that when he was building the ark. Here this man is building an ark. It never rained before, but he's building an ark. There was no water there. He's building an ark in the middle of dry land. And they looked at him and said, you know, this guy is crazy. And you know, I'm sure that some of the people even helped him build the ark. And they laughed at him. He said, you know, this guy is really off of his rock. It took him a long time. He said, over 100 years to build an ark. But see, he had the word of the Lord. And he was functioning based on what God had said to him. And it doesn't matter who laughs. And it doesn't matter who says what. And it doesn't matter if they say, well, nothing's happening. That doesn't, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. You stay firm upon what God has said to you and allow him to work. Don't become impatient and let your tongue betray you. Don't become impatient and begin to speak against those that God has set over you. Don't become impatient and begin to say things that would cause the negative word to hinder what God intends to do. That's the, one of the problems in the church. We talk too much. And we say stuff, you know, because we always focus in. Oh, look. I like what Brother Nolan said. Don't look at all the negative stuff. There's enough of that going around. Look at what God said. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't think I'm righteous? I am. Well, you don't behave righteous. Well, you know what? Righteousness has nothing to do with behavior. Righteousness is positioning. I was in the world and I was doing my thing in the world. One day God came, told me the truth. I said, oh God, I am a sinner. Help me. He picked me up. Put me in righteousness. It's a position. It's a place. He put me in righteousness, and he put righteousness in me. I didn't work for it. I didn't struggle for it. It didn't take 10 years. It took almost 10 seconds. Now my righteousness, now that I'm righteous, now he's working with me so that I can be holy. You see, holiness then is the behavior. Righteousness is the position. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I don't care who says what. I'm in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a completely new species of being that was never in existence before. I am not even like Adam was. That's who I am. You don't like it? I can't help it. This is what God said I am. This is who God said I am. I am who I am. Now don't confuse my behavior. Because when I came, and listen to me carefully, when I came into this stuff, then I started listening to a lot of people. And people told me things like, well, wait and see, you won't always be that happy. Give it a few months, you know. Things are not always going to be so good. No one told you that? You know, they tell us all types of stuff, see? And I listened to them. And then they said, well, if you really want God to love you, then you have to keep his word. That didn't make sense. Because before I was keeping his word, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Before I came into Christ, I was a sinner doing my own thing, and God still loved me. Now don't confuse this with my love for God. Remember what I said before. See, this is God's love for me that I'm talking about. Once I'm placed in this position with God, now he's saying, Anthony, I want you to understand how this thing works. Don't make all these rules and laws, which I have done. You know, in the past you made all these rules. You know, I'll do so and so. And then I did them for a while. And here's a strange thing that happened. When I was doing those things, I was so taken up in God that the only thing that was important to me was God. I wanted God. I wanted everything that God had for me. So my life was focused on that. You know what happened to me? I became so judgmental because I developed this attitude when people were not following what God said. I said, hey, look, I could do it. If I could do it, you could do it. You need to get your life right. And I became very judgmental. You with me? That's the way the church is. Somebody does something wrong and we're ready to crucify. This is not a message to people to go sin. It's an explanation. And God said, don't do that. Don't follow that stuff. Don't take all these rules and set them up. You know, you have all these rules and all these regulations, and now you're judging everything based on those rules and those regulations. That's not good, folks. That's bondage. So what God said, Anthony, look at this example here. Look at how these animals produce. You do the same thing. Don't let this book of the law depart from your eyes. Keep them before your eyes. He didn't say anything about obey. Keep it before your eyes. Why? Because what you look at, the Holy Spirit will take and change you into that. That's not what we do. When we look in the Bible, we see all kinds of evil things about us. We go around saying things like, well, I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. Where did you find that in the Bible? The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Where do we get that stuff from? Because somebody taught us that. And that's how we go around. That's how we live life. And so now we're judging our behavior, and now we're judging our behavior, and we realize, oh man, it must be true. Because now I must have this old nature. God gave me a new nature, but there's an old one. And this old one just keeps rising up all the time. That's why I do wrong. And then we go in the Bible to find something to justify it. So now we look at what Paul was saying. Paul says, when I would do good, I realized that evil was present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's what Paul said. But Paul was describing himself before he became a believer. When Paul is the same one, Paul is the same person that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. How could he be a wretched sinner? That was before. When he came into Christ, he says, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus has made unto me wisdom and righteousness and holiness, and he's made everything to me. Now, my spirit is reborn. He said, my spirit is reformed. Listen to me. He didn't say, my spirit is reformed. You know, we send to prison, and we think that prison is going to reform them. Rehabilitate. Reform. That's not for your spirit. The declaration of God is that your spirit is reborn. That's who I am. A reborn person. A recreated person. In my spirit, I'm perfect. My mind is not yet perfect. My body has to be changed. Until it's changed, I'm supposed to keep it under submission. My mind, until my mind is renewed, well, that's what I have to do with it daily. Paul says, I beseech you now, I beg you, brothers, now that you are in Christ, now that you're a new creation, I beg you, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. And don't be conformed to this world's way of doing things. Don't be conformed to this world's system, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. As I begin to look and meditate and continue, the Holy Spirit gets involved. My mind begins to be renewed. I begin to say the same thing that God is saying. I begin to think the way that God is thinking. And then the result of that is I begin to walk like I'm thinking. God wants you and me to rest. To rest in Him. He who has begun this good work in you. If you are born again, He who has begun this good work in you will continue it until Jesus comes. That's good news for all young people. It's good news for young people. You don't have to struggle to do right. Struggle. Oh, we've been doing that. We've been taught that. We struggle. Then we get so discouraged. And so, we kind of give up. But just as God spoke to Jacob, Jacob kept looking, kept those sheep and those animals looking and looking. Jacob had nothing to do with the other, the young ones being spotted and speckled. He had nothing to do with that. It was all God's doing. You don't have anything with you being changed. When I say you don't have anything to do, you do have something to do. You have to keep the word before your eyes. You have to meditate on that. You know, meditation can be fun. You know, sometimes we meditate here in the mornings. Because meditation is making musical notation. So every time you get your word, or you get, you know, your songs, and you're singing them, yeah. Huh? Brother Manning, do you remember when you were on say? You do? Okay. Did you use a party? A whole lot? Do you remember any songs from the time when you used a party? Could you sing one for me? Alright, if you don't want to sing it, maybe you could say one for me. Do you remember one song? Huh? Huh? Oh, you like that one, me and Mrs. Jones? I can really try, baby. Trying to hold on. To what we got. And if you feel like I feel, baby, come on, let's get it on. You remember that one? Yeah. That was a good one, wasn't it? Yeah, we enjoyed that one. Me and Mrs. Jones, we had a thing going on. Do you remember those songs, right? Yeah. Even the young people are laughing because they remember them. We didn't realize that all that was meditation. It was because when I was singing that song, I could see myself in the party, you know, could I find a girl. Huh? That's how I did it. I see they do it a little different today. But that's how I did it. And you know, I didn't realize that I really have no business with Mrs. Jones. Because Mrs. Jones wasn't Miss Jones. Right, Mrs. Jones was married. So me and Mrs. Jones, we had the thing going on. In other words, I was meditating on adultery. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. But I meditated on it, and then it wasn't long before I was with Mrs. Jones. Because what you meditate on is what you do. Are you with me here? God has given us the same. That's a principle. It's a law. What you meditate on, you would become. If you meditate on what God said, if you meditate on the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you will become that. And you will walk it out. That's what I mean by become. You will walk it out. It will be in your actions. This is the word of God. This is what God is saying to us. And so that's why sometimes when we tell our young people, no, you don't want to listen to that. You know, you turn on the you know, you have this, you know, songs about shooting somebody and drive-by shooting and all that. You know, that's not what you want to hear. You know, and we're beeping up, you know. We're having a good time, not realizing what's happening. Huh? Same principle God has given to us. Take the word, say the word, continue in the word, think about it, muse upon it, listen to the music that we sing. Huh? Listen to the good stuff, the stuff that tells you who you are. So that the Holy Spirit can get involved with that. When He gets involved with that, He will automatically change you. Because your thinking is going to be changed. You will become spiritually minded. And when you become spiritually minded, now your soul is in harmony with who you really are, your spirit. And now your soul and your spirit can keep your body under control. No. I don't do that. I don't do that stuff. I keep my body under control. One day, you won't even have to think of your body because it's going to be changed. But right now, we've got to keep it under because it's fallen. So, don't struggle. Folks, look, don't struggle anymore. Just follow what God says. Find yourself in places where you would hear the word of God continually. Find yourself with the people who ought to be using the word of God and uplifting you and saying what God has said. Just like Brother Nolan was saying. You know, he came up with a lot of negative stuff being said. You never amount to nothing. You stupid. You know the kind of stuff that even today I hear. Sometimes I grieve so much because I hear people saying this, parents saying this to their kids. Boy! Don't be so blankety-blankety-blank. Oh, gosh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ain't you glad you saved? And then we wonder why our son and our daughters are growing up like this. You know, with this complex. And they just feel that they've got to do X and Y and Z. So they feel that they have to cuss out the teacher. And they feel that they have to rank out every adult that they speak to. And they feel that they just have to indulge in whatever drug comes around. They need to indulge. They don't know. Meditation. God says that we will keep this word before our eyes. That word keep does not mean obey directly. What it means is keep before, in other words, go through the process of meditation so that you will be able to obey because it will become second nature to you. That will just be part of you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you don't change the way you think, you're not going to change the way you walk. So you will not walk in holiness
even though maybe you had a change of spirit. You've been reborn. You with me? I'm just going to ask you. I just want to see a wave or a show of hands. How many of you have been struggling to produce holiness in your life? Just wave the hand. Have you been struggling? Okay? How many of you have found that the Christian walk and the commands of God are burdensome and grievous? Wave your hand. If you find it that the commands of God are burdensome and grievous. Just anyone? Nobody has found the Word of God burdensome or grievous. How many of you have found the Christian walk to be a difficult one? Just wave your hand. I just want to see. You find it to be a difficult one, wave your hand. Okay. The people who didn't wave their hands have discovered the truth that there is no need to struggle. So they are meditating upon what God is saying, and the more they're meditating on what God is saying, then they're realizing that it's becoming easy. If we're having the struggle, I just want to pray with you if you're having that struggle. When I ask if you have a struggle, if you don't have a struggle, there's no need to raise your hand. If you understand this truth, there's no need to. But if you don't, and you don't raise your hand because you are maybe ashamed or embarrassed, or you think that somebody else is watching, then you are in bondage to the fear of man. And as long as I am in bondage to the fear of man, I will not be delivered from that stuff. I will not know how to walk in the freedom and the liberty that God has given me. Are you with me here? Now, the reason why I ask is only because I want you to identify the struggle. But not just identify, I want you to be able to do something about it. Now, the next thing I'm going to ask you to do is to come and let us agree with you in prayer. Because the Word says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that we should ask of the Father, it shall be done. So let us come together in agreement so that God can get into our lives, get us into a place where there can be change. Don't let Jerry or John or Fred, if there's a Jerry or John and a Fred here, excuse me, I'm talking directly about you. But don't let anyone dictate to you your Christian walk. Don't let the fear of man be a snare to you, to keep you in a place of bondage. Don't let it happen, folks. Now, we want to agree together. As we agree together, then we're going to ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit, for the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us through this period of time in our lives. So I give you the opportunity now.